3, 2, 1. Let's go. Let's get the ball rolling. We're now recording. We're now live and good to go. Thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure.
So for those listening for those listening, tuning in and all that on all the platforms that they're going to hear this on, tell people about your background and kind of what you do.
So I was born and raised out here in Koh Samui, small island in Thailand. I've lived here with my family. I grew up in school here. And then when I was about 16, I lived in the UK for a couple of years, and then I came straight back. I started Muay Thai about 7 years ago, so when I was around 13. And in the beginning, it was just a fitness thing. And then when I left and came back, I kind of decided I want to try and do a fight. So that's when Muay Thai became more serious. I fell more in love with it. And then training basically just became my life. So yeah, that's how the kind of Muay Thai fitness journey started.
Yeah. How comes you moved back so quickly from the UK, if you don't mind me asking?
2 years was definitely enough. growing up in a place like this, which everyone calls paradise, you know, going back to England, the grey weather and the countryside wasn't really for me. I wasn't a fan of the lifestyle. So yeah, I came back. I didn't actually intend to stay in Thailand this long, but due to COVID, I thought this was the best place to be. So I stayed put.
Do you think that's aided in your training as well, obviously being over there? Because over here, everyone always mentions kind of going over to Thailand and training. Do you think that's made your levels increase?
I think so. Like, I did get a lot of training during COVID. The gyms weren't open all the time, but they were open a lot. And it also gave me a lot of free time to reflect on myself, focus on what I wanted to do. I had loads of time to learn things and build up a lot of fitness content, which has helped me massively for today. So I'm kind of grateful for that time, yeah.
So what got you into Muay Thai in the first place? Like, where did that journey start for you?
I mean, it was always kind of around, like, being in Thailand, Muay Thai is everywhere. Like, you see the trucks with all the posters from people's fight nights around the island all the time, so it's kind of always in the environment. But mainly I had some friends from school that were doing it, and then also my dad was doing it, and he said, just come and try it, it's really good for fitness. So I said okay. Then I just started going. At first it was once or two times a week, and then gradually as I got better, I wanted to go more and more, and then yeah, it became a full-time thing.
Do you remember, say, your first kind of experience, like training? Do you remember how you felt, and was you like, damn, this shit's hard, or like, this is challenging? Or was you excited, nervous? Was it just a workout for you? Like, what was the mindset and process there?
Definitely nervous for the first time, because it was something so new, and Muay Thai gyms can be intimidating, especially when there's loads of fighters or bigger guys, you know, smashing bags, screaming. So for like a young, small girl, it's a little bit scary, but I had friends and my dad was doing it as well, so that made me feel better. And the trainers became like family very quickly. So I was very happy with the gym I was in, which made it much better.
I think that's one of the key things as well, that people make you feel welcome and like you're part of the family there rather than an outcast.
Yeah, it was nice to feel like homey a little bit.
So how long's your dad been training in Muay Thai as well?
He started about 10 years ago, and I think he did it for 8 years or something. And then slowly his age got to him and he had a few injuries here and there, and he's had to stop now. But he only did it for fitness. He never competed or anything, so I mean, he wish he did. I think he's kind of living through it through me.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. I like it. But yeah, that's how it went.
And what's a like traditional day like for yourself, a training day? Like, do you train 8 hours a day, 6 hours a day, 4 hours a day? Is it a full-time thing, part-time thing?
So usually it's between 4 to 6 hours, a couple hours in the morning, couple hours in the afternoon, and then maybe an extra hour here or there doing strength work or extra cardio, just whatever I feel I need to do when I'm in camp. I mean, when I'm outside of fight camp, I'm still in the gym at least 4 hours a day because I just love the whole fitness idea and love making myself stronger. So I am always in the gym. But yeah, typically in the day, I'm still working and doing other things. So the training is still part-time, but does take up a lot of my hours.
And what sort of things are you doing in the gym? So is that like sparring, do you do weights as well? Or are those at like two separate locations?
So everything is all together. My gym has the whole Muay Thai area. So we do pad training, bag work, sparring. That's all in Muay Thai sessions. And then I kind of do my own strength and conditioning. And we've got a gym and we have a CrossFit area. So I like to kind of mix that up. And I've been learning a lot from teachers around me. Loads of like CrossFit movements that help with explosive power. So I've kind of been getting loads of random information from people and putting it together and making my own thing. And it's kind of been working, but I'm still learning. But yeah, I'm loving the journey and the process of it all. So it keeps me going.
What's your hardest workout / circuit like that you do? Would you say like the rounds are harder or the sort of strength and conditioning workouts are a bit more challenging?
Definitely the pad rounds, especially when you're in fight camp and the trainers are just like non-stop getting you to smash their pads, non-stop cardio. Yeah, it gets pretty hardcore leading up to a fight.
What drives you through those workouts, like your mindset wise? What's the voice that's going on in here? Because obviously I'll use myself as an example. If I train, there gets to a point where my brain's just like, just give up. Like, what are you doing this for? What's the point in doing a few more sets or reps or whatever? Like, you're completely fucked. Like, what's the point? So what kind of keeps you going and pushing through that? Is it like strictly your trainers kind of saying, come on, one more round? Or is it like also the voice in your head?
I mean, when I'm doing the Muay Thai, it's the trainers. Like, you don't really have a choice. You can't give up. The trainers are like, come on, keep going. Do another one. Like, you know, 50 more kicks, blah, blah, blah. When it comes to my own training, if I'm in fight camp, then I just think about the fight and how I want to be the best that I can be. So that motivates me massively. But I mean, it's a little bit harder when I don't have a fight to train towards. So sometimes I do slack a little bit. But if not, I do just kind of level the training down to what I am capable of and what I know I'm capable of. So I keep it good to myself and don't completely drain me. So then I feel really bad the next day.
I think that's the important thing, is like balance, right? Because if you go too hard.
Exactly. You've got to know what you're capable of.
Yeah.
And if you push too hard, then you just give up faster. And then that's your mental side goes downhill.
No, I agree. Like, obviously, I think that's, for most people, if they haven't got some form of structured routine and don't know what they're capable of, they usually fall short and fail.
Exactly, yeah.
So when you're not training, like, what do you do to relax and unwind and chill out?
Well, luckily I live in a very beautiful place. So normally throughout the day I just go to the beach, go for a swim in the sea. I find that's the best thing you can do to relax your body, because it just makes you weightless. So your muscles are completely, they don't have to work. They're just floating in the sea, and I love it. It's amazing. And just basically meet people, have coffee, like have food, just chill out around the house. I mean, when you're training so much, you're kind of just happy to chill anywhere. But the amazing, I love this island because watching sunsets by the sea on the beach is one of my favorite things to do. It's so calming, and just watching the sun go down is the most beautiful thing. So yeah, I'm very lucky to live here. Very lucky.
Did you move back over on your own or with other people? with dad, with parents? Like, what was the story there?
So my parents have lived here the whole time. When I went to England, I went by myself, but then I stayed with other family that I had there. So when I came back, I just came back to living with my family here, like my parents. So it was really easy moving back and forth.
Yeah. Do you have any sort of, ambitions to come back to the UK to maybe compete over this way? Or is it just like, I'm in paradise, I'm never going back, I'm staying here forever?
Kind of. I mean, I do want to go back to the UK for like a holiday, to see friends and family, definitely, because I do feel I have a bigger community there. More people live there long term. But that would literally just be like a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks. I don't think I would compete Muay Thai over there. Not while I'm in Thailand. This seems like the best place to be to fight.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna, yeah.
You've got a sort of your own fitness programs going on as well, haven't you? Is that on the side or is that your full-time work as well?
No, that's on the side. That's a little side hustle I'm trying to grow. So hopefully in 5 years, it will be my full-time job. I'm kind of using my social media to create fitness content, to build up a little bit of a brand, helping to empower other people. And then I also do have my fitness app where I do have, like, I have filmed workouts so people can follow and they can communicate with me about that specific kind of training.
Okay. And is that, is it just kind of they pay, they get to see the content and they just train off their own back, or are you kind of giving them some coaching advice as well via the app?
So there are some videos where it's just music and you just follow along at your own pace. I tell you the sets and reps and you just go for it. And then there's also other videos where I am guiding you through the whole thing.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, there's a good mix. Both.
Yeah, that's what you want though, isn't it? Like a bit of diversity, a bit of being adaptable for everyone, I think is a good approach within the fitness world, because if I was to go get like a pro athlete workout plan, as much as I like to believe that I'm super strong, superhuman, and I've got some extreme fitness levels, realistically it's not going to happen. Do you know what I mean? So it needs to kind of be tailored to the individual, or at least something I can adapt to use within my own routines.
Exactly. You got to be realistic with yourself. You got to know what level you're at, because it's the best way you're going to improve.
Have you ever dealt with any injuries or anything like that as well that's kind of hindered your performance?
Luckily, like, touch wood. Down here. I've never had any serious injuries. Like, the most serious injury I've had was shin splints, which is nothing bad at all. I think my yoga experience and my mobility helps a lot. Helps with muscle soreness and helps reduce any risk of injury. So that's why I'm implementing that so much with all my fitness content. So I think that's so important, and it's probably why I've been so lucky not having any injuries.
So with your yoga, what's the process with that? Like, do you incorporate like breathing? Is it a good thing for your mindset? Like, are you using your mind as well to like calm the brain whilst doing yoga, or is it purely like mobility and flexibility based?
So I do incorporate some yoga aspects with breathing, a lot on calming the mind, calming, like reducing your heart rate. But there's also an aspect of getting comfortable with the uncomfortable, like holding positions for a long time, your body starts to feel the pain, your muscles are like, get me out of here. And you use your breath and control your mind to tell your body that you're okay, you can stay in it. So that kind of concept like has helped me a lot with other things as well. And I try to implement that in my workouts and my programs. But video wise, there is more mobility drills, because I prefer doing mobility than yoga sequences. So there is a mix, but I would say more mobility drills that people can follow.
Yeah. Definitely. Have you got someone like managing yourself as well and helping you with putting out that content and recording that content, or is it just strictly all you off your own back I'm putting out there?
All me and my tripod.
That's mad, isn't it? How did you find the time? How did you find the time to do it? This is the thing.
It has been hard. So luckily with COVID, I had loads of free time. I learned everything. And then slowly, luckily there weren't fights at the beginning of the year. Luckily. So I had a lot of time to film workouts and get going with the app, get going with the programs, kind of plan everything. And then in between fights, that's why I've been taking a break every now and then, so I can actually focus on this kind of stuff. But yeah, it's very hard balancing it all out, definitely.
And how are you working on your own mindset to keep developing and keep being better and all of those things?
I think with all the Muay Thai training every day, that grows my mindset all the time. Also with social media and people that I choose to follow that aren't friends are like other entrepreneur, other business accounts. And sometimes I see, like, I read articles or I read quotes that are super motivating and they kind of click something in me and I'm like, oh yeah, I should think like that. Oh yeah, that makes sense. So I don't know, like day to day, sometimes I see random things and I think altogether that kind of helps me to grow and to keep bringing new ideas and mindset.
Do you meditate at all or anything around that, whether it be just breathing through yoga, that be your form of meditation, or do you sit there cross-legged, hands like this, breathing?
Like, absolutely not.
No?
Meditating is not my thing at all. When I did my yoga teacher training, we had to meditate for like 45 minutes every morning. It was the longest 45 minutes of my life. I think it is super beneficial and some people really should do it. But for me, Muay Thai is enough meditation. Like when I'm there training, literally I think of nothing else. I'm just focusing on one thing and my mind is empty of like my life outside the gym. So for me, that's enough. But for people that don't have that, I think some form of meditation is so important because your mind is always working, your life is always moving around in your head. So you need to learn how to block that out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What was the hurdle for you? What was the part that you hated, obviously, with the 45 minutes? What didn't you like about that? Did you just feel like you're falling asleep? Was you like, this is boring, what's the point?
I wish I could fall asleep. No, it was just super boring. I'm a very active and I'd say high energy person. So to just sit in one place, eyes closed and think about nothing is very, very challenging for me.
Yeah.
Which is probably a reason I should try to learn how to meditate and maybe one day I will. But for now, I don't really see the necessity for me. So, but that might change. We'll see.
No, I mean, if you're still getting that sort of blockage where you're only focused on one thing and in that present moment, then you're pretty much achieving that anyways. Like, that's the way I think about it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. Do you meditate?
Yeah, I meditate, but I only do like 10 minutes. But I also do jiu-jitsu as well, which for me is my main like form of meditation where I just feel present and the chaos.
Yeah, so it's the same martial arts, like you're in the zone, nothing else matters.
Yeah, and it's honestly such a blissful experience, I think, especially when you're aware like that you aren't thinking about anything else, which is my downfall is literally I'll turn up, I'm not thinking about anything else, start training, and then there'll be like a 2-minute window where I start thinking about loads of stuff going on in my life and I'm like, oh great, and then suddenly it just goes again and then I'm back into like that present moment.
That's actually what sometimes does motivate me to go to the gym, to go training. Like if I'm sometimes feeling like stressed or tired, sometimes I do remember like, oh yeah, when I'm training I literally don't think about anything else. I want that blockage of my mind, and then yeah, sometimes it actually does help me go. So yeah, it's great for that.
I think it's like a good friend of mine once described it as a vacation for the brain. You know, like whatever that enjoyment is, it's a vacation for the brain. You're just there in that moment.
True. I like that.
So what are your future plans? What have you got lined up? What's the journey looking like for yourself?
So nothing super set in stone. I don't actually see fighting as a career. At the moment, I'm doing it for the experience. I'm doing it for fun. It's the best way to learn Muay Thai is by fighting. So, and it also makes me into a tougher person, stronger mind. So I'm just kind of enjoying the process of it and seeing, you know, how well I can fight after more experience. And then by the end of the year, maybe early next year, I intend to go traveling and see the world, because that was my plan 2 years ago. But then COVID happened. So I stayed here, started training, and then just got very deep into this world. And I think I have achieved quite a lot now, and I'm at a very good time of my life to do the fighting. So I do want to dedicate like 6 more months to it, but then I'm ready to see what else the world has to offer. And then from there is no plan, just see what happens.
Just winging it, right?
Yeah, which I love.
What's where are your few like places you're looking to go when traveling? Is there certain areas that you want to go see in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking more towards South America. I just feel like the vibe there is similar to Thailand, but also completely different. Like, I wouldn't want to go into a Western society like America, because I just feel like the mindset there is very different to how I've kind of grown myself to be. So, yeah, South America is kind of where I'm looking to go.
Mm.
There's but definitely, things change all the time.
Well, they do, yeah. There's definitely an element as well with what you're saying in the Western society that, I don't know, sometimes it feels a bit like poisonous. It's weird, like, yeah. It can mess with your head, you know, all the politics and all that shit. It's like brainwashing people almost.
It's just, to me, there's always been a cycle of you work to survive. There isn't much enjoyment in life and taking up the opportunities it has to offer. So I definitely don't want to get stuck in that kind of cycle.
Yeah, no, I agree. And again, another good friend of mine said, which he said quite recently to me, was you can struggle where I am now, for example, in the UK, or he's like, you can just struggle in paradise. Like, which one would you rather have? Do you know what I mean? And I was thinking, that's so true.
Yeah. Mm.
It's mad. I don't know. It's mad. Like, sometimes when people say stuff, how it just clicks in your brain, and you think, do you know what? Like, you're right. I could just go there and live the same life, basically, but have a better experience because everything's more chill. The people are more nice. Not to diss the people in the UK too much, but it's just the mentality. I get fed up with it, honestly.
Exactly. I think a lot of people do. And a lot of people are like, yeah, this is true. But still, many people don't do it.
Mm.
Which, like, yeah, not everyone can. Otherwise, you know, it just wouldn't work out here if everyone did this.
Yeah, can you imagine?
So, but yeah.
Can you imagine? You're just like, oh, I've moved away from the UK, but everyone in the UK has came here. So great. What do you do for recovery as well, like yourself? Because obviously your training routine sound quite stressful to the body. So what do you do to aid your recovery?
I like to do ice baths. I find they're really, really good for recovery. Like, my body feels great afterwards. I tend to be quite good with the ice bath, surprisingly, because cold showers is something I cannot do. Like, I hate cold showers. But if you tell me to go in an ice bath for 4 minutes, I can put my mind to it and I can do that. So I like doing that. Saunas are also good. I mean, I'm in a very hot country, so saunas aren't that inviting. But I know it has its benefits. And then mainly it's just sleep. Like, I try my hardest to get 8 to 9 hours sleep, because I think that's where your body recovers. That's where your muscles rebuild, is through deep sleep. Sometimes not always possible with work, but that is my main goal throughout the week. Try to get at least 8 hours.
Give or take.
Yeah.
How are you staying motivated as well? That's my other thing, because you're doing a lot. Like you said, you're recording your own content, You've got an Instagram audience where you're putting things up. You've got to upload the videos to your app for your fitness programs. You've got to train, eat, sleep, all of that stuff. Like, how are you motivated to do all of that? Because if it was me, I'd probably just be like, fuck it, I'm sitting on the sofa, I'm going to watch some shit telly for an hour. Like, I need to just decompress, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it is a lot. I think my personality, my energy is kind of just like that. Like, I have a vision and I really want to do everything I can to achieve it. But I also love what I do. Like, I love training. I love eating good food. I love filming this fitness content and I love learning about it and I love helping other people. Understanding it and kind of empowering others makes me feel good. So I think that's what kind of keeps me going. I'm just really happy with what I'm doing. I would not be able to do any of this if I wasn't happy with it. So I know I'm going in like the right direction.
Yeah, and I think the fact that you said that you love kind of what you're doing, it doesn't feel like it's too much effort and a job.
Work. Yeah, it doesn't feel like a job, just feels like a passion. So in that sense it's a pretty good job.
Yeah, well, at least you enjoy it, right? Like, you're not sitting there in an office working 9 to 5 answering phone calls thinking, I could be doing this, but fuck my life, because I'm answering the phone and listening to someone complain about whatever it might be and just thinking, I'm gonna go home, have a microwave meal, watch some shit telly, and how depressing is that for the next 20 to 30 years of your life? So at least you're doing something you love and enjoy.
Can't imagine living that kind of life. So doing everything I can to keep this one.
Yeah. And how do you cope with the pressures of, like, obviously putting content out there on social media, because people are going to follow your routines, but then there's also going to be people that might be slagging your content off, being haters. I don't know if you get that. You might have a really good community, but just sleazy people.
In general it seems like a good community. I don't get a lot, but obviously I do get some that kind of slag me off, or they're like, oh, you're doing this wrong, or you're fake, blah blah blah. But they're just, I know those people kind of low lives. I see their accounts and they have like no profile picture, no followers, like they're not really real people, or if they are, I don't really give a shit about them, to be honest. And I know what I'm doing is good. I have no doubt in myself, so I'm very good at ignoring that kind of shit. Very easy to me, to be honest. So yeah, it's good. But no, in general I think people have quite a lot of respect for me, which is really nice, because like you said, I am a little bit different. Like, I don't just put beautiful girly photos up. Like, I do incorporate the fighting and I try to keep it raw as much as I can. So I think people do respect that. So luckily I don't get a lot of hate messages or anything like that.
Perfect. That's always a plus, right? That you're not getting too much shit.
Yeah.
Cool. If you don't mind, just take a couple of minutes break and then we'll come back. I've got a few more questions for you. Is that all right?
Okay, no problem.
Cool. Yeah, we're back. So we were just touching, I believe, on the social media element, and you were saying how you would, you don't really care about the hates too much, and most people obviously enjoy your content that are viewing it. Just a quick question, obviously more around that. Do you get kind of those creepy dudes that are always trying to, like, I don't know what the correct word would be, but like sexualize your stuff? Do you know what I mean? Like, comment on it like, yeah, this girl's ass is so nice, and oh, I'll do this and do that.
Yeah, of course I get them. Like, you can't stop them. There's so many out there. But again, I just ignore it and I don't really give a shit about it. I actually noticed quite a few times other random followers I have defend me quite a lot. if they see comments, they reply to it and be like, oh, don't fucking say this, it's so rude, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know, it kind of makes me feel better when I see that. And I'm like, oh, people are defending me. That's really cool.
I like that.
But yeah, again, When I see that shit, I just delete it or I block them. I'm like, I can't be fucked with it.
Yeah. And you've got like, you've got your little fighter community in the comments.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think people are a bit scared to comment too bad things.
Are your DMs pretty bad as well? I can imagine like some people were like, oh, can you send me photos of your feet for fucking 50 pounds?
I get a lot of people. Yeah, a lot. Actually more feet than anything else, which I guess is okay. Like feet are just feet, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird. But again, it's normal. I don't really think too much about it.
What do you think your worst DM has been like in on that side of things?
Oh, I don't know. Probably just people asking for like full on nudes or something. Just stupid shit that guys do.
Yeah,
you can imagine.
Mm. Well, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking maybe someone randomly though, because obviously people are into some weird shit and they're just like, oh, can you let me dress up in a nappy and fucking tell me how I'm such a naughty boy or some shit, and you're just reading it like, it's just, what is wrong with people?
Yeah,
you know,
really? Yeah, sometimes you just really can't believe it. It does give me a bit of a giggle sometimes, which is fun. I have had like people asking for nudes but with Muay Thai gear on, kind of stuff, make it a little bit more interesting, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, it does give me a bit of a laugh, but then I forget it and it's over.
Yeah.
Easy.
No, that's a good thing, like that you can kind of just get over that hump, because I've got people that will get random DMs or, you know, shit talking in their comments or whatever, and they kind of take it really personal. And I was, you know, trying to advise them on just that. Sometimes you just shouldn't even read your own comments, you know, it's just like, leave it and let it do its thing. But it's good that you've got that mindset of just like, whatever, delete it, who cares?
Yeah. Fuck them. No, I mean, I have to read through comments because like that is keeping good engagement on my page. So, I mean, I know that's important. So I do have to kind of look through that stuff. But yeah, I am very good at just whatever, I don't care. And because I am doing so many things all the time, like new things are coming to my head so fast straight afterwards, so I forget about things so quickly. So yeah, it's good.
Maybe you should get you one of your close friends to just do your comment stuff for you. How easy would that? Just get one of your besties to be your social media manager for a little bit, sort you out, give you more free time.
That
right?
would be nice. Yeah, I'll try to organize that one day.
So you,
I have a bit more money.
Excuse me. So are you studying still or not studying anymore? Have you been doing any studying at all?
No. So officially I finished all my studying when I left the UK, like high school, college kind of era. And then during COVID, I did a few online diplomas. So I learned all the science behind fitness and nutrition, how that all works together. Which was super interesting. And then also I did some courses on social media and marketing and just basically the whole online platform world. So I've just put everything together from my own little studying that I've done and producing what I'm producing now.
Yeah, and you're doing well with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do really like learning things. So of course, with this whole business that I'm kind of starting, there is a lot of new things coming to me. So then I try to find the time to do a quick little course about it or watch some YouTubes about it, just learn as much as I can. And I try to do everything myself for now.
How did you grow your following on Instagram? Like, was that a slow incremental process, or for some reason did it kind of just go click overnight where it was like 10,000 and then suddenly you were like 50,000, 100,000? You're thinking, what is going on here? Like, this is mental.
Yeah, no, I mean, in the beginning it was slow. You know, it was from thousands and then I hit 10k and I was like, oh my god, this is so cool. And then slowly went to 20, and then it started growing a little bit faster. I started posting more consistently. That helped a lot, actually, posting every day. Got my followers growing massively. And then it was about 40K and one of my videos just went super viral. It got like 16 million views.
Wow. Wow.
And then that's when it shot from 40 to 200 in a week. So that was crazy.
That is mental. Yeah. You're like, holy shit, I'm a celebrity. Like, where's the paparazzi at?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for my blue tick now, man.
Yeah. Well, have you requested verification via Instagram?
Yeah, a few times. But I have heard from a lot of people you need to do it a lot.
Yeah.
Request. So yeah, just waiting for the day they say yeah.
The thing is as well, they're so fucking long with it. Like, that's the other thing. You think, maybe it'll be now. And then they go, we need you to match all this criteria. And you're just like, fucking hell, like, oh, I need to copy and paste this and send this and whatever. I know it's great, have the blue tick next to your name, it's brilliant, but I'm like, fucking hell, talk about making me jump through hoops for a little verification tick.
Yeah, it's crazy what we all need now, what we think we need.
Yeah. Have you, so on the nutritional like standpoint, what's your diet like? What sort of things are you eating? Is it kind of fresh food based, or what's the story there?
Definitely. Like, I don't follow a diet. I don't believe in diets. I follow the 80-20 rule. So 80% of the week I eat healthy, 20% I just kind of eat what I want. I'm more strict with myself when I'm in fight camp. I like to eat really healthy, really clean, and get all my macros in, like all my carbs, proteins, and loads of veggies, because it just makes me feel better, makes my body recover faster, which is essential for all the training that you're doing. So yeah, that's kind of mainly where I go, 80 to 20. Although I do have a really bad sweet tooth, so trying to control that is a challenge sometimes.
Yeah, I struggle with that. I definitely struggle with that. I'm like, anything that's sweet, I'm like, I'll have some Skittles, a little bit of chocolate, like whatever, I'm eating it.
They have so much good, like, munchy food, so much good chocolate. Yeah, I really struggled when I lived there.
What's your like 20%? So what's a shit meal for you? What's your go-to?
Big pizza.
Yeah? What sort of toppings do you have in?
I mean, salami, sometimes parma ham. Unpopular opinion, Hawaiian pizza is good. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
No, I knew you was going to say that. I knew that was going to come out of your mouth.
It's good.
Why though? What's so good about it?
It's just the sweet and the salty. It just makes you want to eat more and more. I don't know. I just like it. I like sweet and salty things together. Like with popcorn, you got to get sweet and salty.
Yeah, I can agree, but the texture's similar, right? Like, that's cool. When you've got like ham and pineapple, the texture's so different. It's like weird in my mouth. I can't do it. It's not.
I think from growing up here as well, though, I've been like exposed to so many different kinds of food, a lot of weird foods, a lot of international foods. So my like food palate is open to basically anything.
I've
very little things that I don't like, so probably to do with that.
Yeah, I've obviously just got that English closed palette of just English food, and that's it. You know, obviously like takeaway down the road, pizza, that's great, but I want like an Italian pizza with like English tasting shit on it. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't get complicated. Don't put fish on it. I just want pizza.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Have you ever sort of taken any psychedelics at all? Is there any experience around drugs or anything like that?
I'm not really too much into drugs. I have taken magic mushrooms before. I did it quite a few years ago, and I think honestly that helped a lot change my mindset. When I was a teenager, I was just a proper teenager, like normal teenager. And then I did shrooms once, and I did them here in Thailand. And it kind of opened my eyes, and everything was so amazing around me. And I was like, wow, I live in an amazing place. I've had an amazing life. It could have been so much worse. So I just had so much gratitude after that trip. And I think after that, that actually clicked something in me, and I changed quite a bit about myself. Really appreciated things around me, people around me. So yeah, no, I think that was a really good experience for me. I wouldn't really like recommend everyone to do it, because some people's, you know, with their mental side, some can't handle it, or some might see the wrong things. So I wouldn't advise it. I'd only say if you think you can handle it, then try it. But other than that, I'm not really huge into the whole drug psychedelic thing.
Yeah. I should have probably worded that better anyways and said medicine, because obviously they can be deemed as medicinal, like mushrooms, for example, the psilocybin. If you take, I don't know, I'm not going to quote verbatim the right answer here, but if you take like a certain amount a day, that's not enough to give you like a massive trip. It can like help with anxiety and depression and stuff like that.
Things like microdosing. I have friends that do it and they have very good things about it, like to say about it. I personally haven't experienced it. I haven't really done it. I'm not against it. I just haven't had the time to do it, or it hasn't really been a priority. But I think it's very beneficial for people.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Like, there needs to be almost like a need to want to do it. Like, as in, I want to try this because it's going to open my mind to this or make me this way, rather than just kind of abusing the substance to an extent. Like, if you feel like there's a gain from it, by all means, go for it. Like, microdosing, like you said, for example, might not be for you because you may not need it right now, but for someone else, obviously, yeah, who's doing it, they might find that need, you know. Like, I'm not just going to go out to the field, start picking some mushrooms and microdosing. I don't feel like I have a need for it right now, but I might do later on down the line.
Yeah, so it totally just depends on the person, where they are in their life. Yeah, I'm not really too familiar on the subject.
What's the so we're in the sense of other things, like, do you drink alcohol a lot, or again, are you just kind of in tune with yourself and your kind of maybe like a couple of alcoholic beverages here and there, or not so much?
No, like, if I'm not in fight camp, then I'll go out on the weekends, you know, I'll have a good time with friends, do a whole night, go out drinking. I live on a very well-known party island, so it's very easy to go out drinking all night here. But I'm pretty disciplined, like, I know when I should and when I shouldn't. So when I'm in fight camp, then I don't drink at all. Normally during the week, I have just a one, like a Friday or a Saturday night to have fun, because again, I think that balance is important.
And what are the parties like over that way?
Oh yeah, they're super fun.
Yeah? Well, like, what goes on? That's what I want to know. What goes on at a party? You turn up, it's all cool. Like, not what are you doing at a party, just like the setting of the party. Like, what's it about?
I mean, there's less kind of parties here. It's more just clubs, like beach clubs and then normal kind of clubs and bars. So it's that kind of environment. But there's so many international people. There's people from all over the world, so it's super mixed. It's a great way to meet people. I really, really love that about it. And yeah, there's no kind of stereotypical people because everyone is so different. But yeah, it's a very cool place, and everywhere is so different from each other. I don't know, it's a nice place to party.
Yeah, well, that's what I was alluding to, because like, for me, especially over here, I know there's probably some nice places, but there's almost like a mentality, like when you go out in the UK to a club or whatever, there's always like the traditional, I don't know, sniffhead who's chucking it, giving it the, you know, I'm the man around there, rah, rah, rah. Someone that's trying it on with your girlfriend, someone that's just like, it's kind of like, I'm out here to have a good time and like literally party, do you know what I mean? Like, have fun. And you just got all these like toxic people about who are just, I don't know, I'm like, why have you even come out? Do you know what I mean? Like, stay at home.
Yeah. And I feel like there you always have that expectation that, you know, the night's going to kind of end that way. So you can't really fully enjoy yourself. But yeah, like in a place like this, it's very unexpected and you don't have any of that kind of big community of those certain people. Yeah. So
yeah,
it's cool.
No, I like that. I like that. I guess that's part of the traveling aspect as well, isn't it? Like, people are coming and traveling over that way to have a good time, and they're here or where
you are. Their mindset as well. Yeah, completely opens their mind to new things, and they kind of change who they are, or they forget parts of themselves, and they just like to become someone else, I think, when you're on holiday.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? Like how we travel and then suddenly we're a different person, and then we come back home and we're someone else. It's like, I always find that weird.
And it's very interesting.
So who would you say is like a big idol for you? It can be anyone on the planet. Who do you kind of look at and think, I quite like their life and maybe I would like to live like that?
I don't know, you know. like there's been a few people that have passed through my life, like old friends that I've kind of looked at and said, you're living the life I want to live. There's a lot of people on Instagram that I see. When I was growing up, I was like, oh my God, this looks amazing. But the more and more now I learn that Instagram isn't always real. Like it's not really people's lives. They just post all the good stuff. It's very, very misleading. But I've mostly just like big fighters have inspired me, like super motivating, like a lot of female fighters on ONE Championship or things like that. That's definitely motivated me to go down the fighting route. Temporarily. But the traveling route, I think I've just always had that desire to go out and see the world and do my own thing. So yeah, I wouldn't say one specific idol. I think just loads of different people have influenced different desires of mine, and I'm just gonna find my own life.
It's funny you said that about sort of social media and Instagram, that it is like people's happiest moments and best moments, because just gave me an idea in my brain to like, for me to just put up all my shittest moments, just to change it, just like, just put the worst stuff on there.
Yeah, do it. Maybe you'll start something.
Yeah, the problem is I wouldn't want to come across like some depressed, really down in the dirt, low in life type of guy. Do you know what I mean? Like it's difficult.
Yeah, this could very easily happen.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like people would be like, why do I want to talk to this guy? He's fucking always depressed.
Yeah, maybe don't put all your shittest moments, you know, like make it sporadic.
A 90-10 rule, yeah, like 90% shit, 10% good.
Yeah.
But it's funny, isn't it, how we look at things. Like that's kind of where I was going with it is, We put up those great moments, whether it be, you know, at a wedding that's once in a blue moon or whatever. And it's like, I wonder if we swapped it around. And even though I don't feel like shit all the time or whatever, I'm not a negative person all the time. But just in those random moments, I just go, I'll just post negatively instead. And just to see how I'm sure the algorithm would probably actually help me. Maybe I'll just... don't know, you know, negativity travels fast, right?
Yeah,
I'll create an Instagram page called the miserable guy or some shit like that.
Could go viral, you never know.
Yeah, well that's the aim of the game. I mean, I got retweeted by Joe Rogan once, which I've said countless times. That was like a hype moment for me. Obviously he's the number one podcaster on the planet, and he dropped me a retweet and I was like, yes, I've made it. I'm a fucking star. Obviously, it didn't turn out to be that way, but, you know, it is what it is. We're constantly growing, right?
Still nice.
Do you set yourself, like, mini goals, like monthly goals or anything like that, daily goals? Is there anything, 30-day goals that you kind of do, or is it you have your plans and you kind of wake up and go, this is getting implemented today, this is what I need to do?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I have many goals. I think mainly because of the fighting. Every fight is just a goal. And when you're in fight camp, like every day, morning, afternoon, evening, that's all you're kind of thinking about. And that's all you're training towards mentally and physically. But every day I do have like at least 5 or 6 reminders on my phone of things, not just like errands I need to do, but like things that I want to do business wise, and or like little, I have like little messages to myself sometimes, which helps like motivate me to do certain things. So yeah, I wouldn't say mini goals, but like mini things that help me go further with my plan.
Yeah, with little quotes coming in during the day to just keep you going.
Yeah, with that. Just look at them and kind of like giggle at myself. I'm just like, oh, thanks, Jess.
Yeah, I read this the other day and now I'm reading it and I just realised I'm my biggest fucking helpful tool. How great is that?
Yeah, it's nice when that happens.
Cool. Yeah, is there anything you'd like to add at all? And where can people find you on social media? And how can people access your app, your content and all of that stuff?
Yeah, so mainly like I'm just kind of on Instagram at the moment. I am playing with TikTok a little bit. I'm not really a fan of the platform, but a lot of people have told me to go through it. So I'm starting that. I will also be starting YouTube when I have time, when I'm not training for fights. So that might be a little bit slower, but yeah, Instagram is my main platform and the link to my app is on my bio page, so anyone can find it there.
Okay, that's cool. And with TikTok, do you know, have you heard about their terms of service by any chance? Well, random, I know, but if you read their terms of service, so what you have to give away to post content on that platform, you'll be thinking, fuck that.
No, I haven't, but do elaborate.
Yeah, well, I can do. So basically, it was on a podcast. I'll tell you what, I'll link you the video after this
so you can watch it.
Because it'll be easier than me explaining, but you'll be thinking to yourself, I don't want to be on that platform. I don't want that app on my phone. Like, fuck that.
I mean, I already don't really want to be on that platform. So this can probably make my life a lot easier. Yeah, send it over.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I'll link all the stuff down in the description of the video. I'll chat to you for a couple of minutes off stream if you're fine with that. And yeah, we'll wrap this up.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, thank you for coming on, by the way. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.